Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Welcome to Love Strategies. This is Nina Atwood, your host tonight, live this time. And if you're joining us for the first time on the show, welcome. If you've listened before, well, welcome back. And please do call in if you have questions tonight while I'm talking. So on this show, we're going to be talking about ballroom dancing. Did you know that ballroom dancing is good for the development of relationship skills, even when you're single? Now, we're going to talk about the many ways that relationships are a lot like dancing, and also the health benefits of ballroom dancing, whether you are in a relationship or not. I'm a firm believer that relationships are a lot like dancing. And so what we're going to do in this show is talk about how it is that it is a lot like dancing and how that is a benefit to you to discover what that's about. But I want to start with a little bit of research that I looked into about the health benefits of dancing. Get this. There was a study done that was actually a 21-year-long study looking at how people age and what kinds of activities they can do while aging that reduce the likelihood of a decline in mental ability, and that could be dementia, that could be Alzheimer's. That's what they were looking at in this study. And so here's what they discovered. They found that activities that require intelligence are the ones that reduce the rate of dementia. But let me define what intelligence is according to this study. So the essence of intelligence is making decisions. So when it comes to improving your mental acuity, you have to involve yourself in activities that require split-second rapid-fire decision-making as opposed to rote memory. So if you're doing things that are all about rote memory, things you've done many times before and you're just retracing the same old pathways, what you're basically doing in your brain is following the same old neural pathways that you've always done before. And you're not really using intelligence to do that. And what they found is that if we want to age well and keep our minds active, we have to actually create brand new neural pathways the whole time as we're aging. We have to keep creating new pathways. Well, the only way to create new pathways is to be learning something. And especially if you are learning something that requires a lot of rapid-fire, split-second decision-making. So actually, if you were to take on learning something new continuously throughout your life as you get older and older, you would be constantly improving your intelligence. That's what we found, is the brain is incredibly plastic and elastic throughout life. It really isn't true that you have X number of brain cells when you're an adult, and then they all just start dying off and you lose them as you get older. No, you actually can influence the development of new neural pathways by taking on things that you learn. So anything new that you're learning as you get older is going to help you. And it doesn't matter whether you will ever use it again in the future. You take on learning in order to challenge your mind and stimulate the connectivity of your brain. Now, here's the thing. They found out that difficult and even frustrating classes are better for you because that kind of learning, the kind you have to really work hard at, creates a greater need for new pathways in your brain. All right, so how many of you have ever taken a dance class and found that or thought that you had two left feet and that you had to struggle to learn those steps? Well, turns out that's a really good thing for your brain. So dancing integrates a number of different brain functions all at one time. So it involves kinesthetic, it involves rational, logical, musical, and emotional processes. And if you're the more brain functions you use at one time in an activity, the more connectivity you get out of your brain. So the kinds of dance classes that allow you to do this are the kind where you have to make a lot of split-second decisions. Turns out, ballroom dancing is that kind of dance. It's not just standing there and gyrating around like we did back, you know, when I'm old enough to remember when ballroom dancing was not in, when it was very not popular, and the kind of dancing we did was the kind where you stood around and just kind of gyrated. Well, that's not the kind of dancing that works for this. It's got to be the kind of dancing that makes you have to think. You have to split second come up with decisions about how you're going to move, remembering those steps, moving this way, moving that way. And of course, if you're taking ballroom dance lessons, you're having to constantly learn a lot of new steps. So, you know, the health benefits of ballroom dancing go beyond the continued development of your brain and preventing Alzheimer's and dementia. I thought that was pretty powerful just to find that out. But, of course, the rest of it we already know, which is that it's aerobic, especially if you're doing one of the dances that involves a lot of movement, a lot of movement around the dance floor. That's highly aerobic. It also, of course, is going to help you reduce stress because any aerobic activity is going to help you reduce stress. And, of course, it's going to contribute to the development or the secretion of dopamine, which is the pleasure chemical of the brain. So, you know, it's amazing the number of benefits that are associated with ballroom dancing when it comes to your health. But there's more. There's also benefit to you in developing healthier, more loving relationships. That's right. Ballroom dancing and relationships. That's what we're going to talk about next. So, you know, it really is a lot like dancing. When you get in a relationship, it requires two partners, and how those two partners interact is going to determine how much fun you have and how much enjoyment and how happy and satisfied you are. Same thing in dance, same thing in relationship. But there are some things that we get involved in dancing that I think a lot of people don't realize are very parallel to relationships. And one of those is the notion of having a leader and a follower. So in ballroom, unlike the dancing that I did when I was in college, the standing there gyrating kind, in ballroom dancing, there's a leader and a follower. And it turns out that we have a bit of a gender bias as men and women toward this leader and follower position in the dance of relationships. Now, I know that sounds really old-fashioned. I know it sounds kind of gender biased, but you know what? I'm really not embarrassed to acknowledge it because here's what I know. You know, as a starting point, I'm a very empowered, liberated woman. I am not a passive woman. If you were to meet my husband and hear what he has to say about that, he would let you know that the last thing that I am is passive. I believe very deeply in the rights and freedoms of women to pursue their goals without fear of being oppressed or repressed or treated less than because of gender. So I'm a very empowered, very liberated woman. I firmly believe to the depth of my being that men and women are absolutely equal. Neither one is superior, neither one is inferior. So I see that I'm see myself as very equal to any man, but I also see, and this is where sometimes I can tick off some of the feminists, I also believe that I am different than men, that we are different than men. And I'm not talking about the kind of differences that are kind of like your fingerprints, you know, that, oh, you're one kind of person, I'm another kind of person, our personalities are different, that sort of thing. I'm talking about being different in some fundamental ways that are unique to our gender. And I have to say, earlier in my career as a therapist, I really kind of overlooked a lot of the information out there about gender differences. I really didn't want to focus on that. I wanted to focus much more on the equality issue and didn't focus much on the differences. But the more I've been in this business and the more experience that I have working with people, the more I see that anecdotally and through the research, how different we are as men and women. We really are. And I know that sometimes those differences, I think there are many contexts in which there aren't a tremendous amount of differences, but there are some contexts in which there are a lot of differences. And one of those, I think, is how we conduct ourselves in relationships. So, you know, there are other things too. I mean, it's pretty obvious we, as women, do not tend to have the same amount of muscle mass as men. Although we can be very, very strong, it's just a lot tougher for a woman to build up as much muscle mass as a man. That's just one kind of obvious way that we're different. But I think that, you know, it's pretty clear by now that women are just as intelligent as men, but that there are some ways that our brains work that are a little bit different. And I think the things that in a relationship context, that there are ways that we are different. And so, but I want to talk about that specifically in dating, because I think that is one of the arenas where it really shows up, how different we are. So we're going to be back with more love strategies. We're going to just take a brief pause for a short message. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies, and I'm Nina Atwood, your host. We're talking tonight about ballroom dancing, health, and relationships. And I want to talk specifically about the differences between men and women in that stage of relationships that we call dating. So for most women, dating is about finding someone to go through life with as a lifetime partner, however you define that. For us, it's all about finding someone that we can love, respect, and like, who wants what we want, who wants that same degree of love, who wants that lifetime relationship, that marriage, that family. And secondly, it's all about that person, that guy, loving us back, being totally into us, and that he treats us well. So for most of us as women, the driving force when we really like a guy is this. The question is he really into me? And if he is, then we go forward and we keep exploring this thing called a relationship to see if it can go the distance. But we do that with a lot of joy and freedom. But if we can't tell how much he's into us, it begins to feel really difficult and painful. And that in that way, I think that we are a bit different. I think that men want long-lasting relationships just as much as women. In fact, there are some very recent studies that have shown that more and more men in today's world are able to articulate openly their desire for love, commitment, and marriage, more so than we've ever seen them do before. So I think the deep-down desire is the same for men and women overall, but how we go about it shows up differently in dating. So for us as women, when we take the lead away from the guy and don't allow him to pursue, eventually we begin to feel anxious about it. When, for a guy, you know, men are much more comfortable in the pursuing role. They're wired to do that. They're wired to be goal-setting and goal-driven for the most part. So most guys, when they meet a woman they really like, they set a goal. You know, I'm going to pursue her. I want to make her love me. I'm going to make her want to be with me as much as I want to be with her. And there's something for men that's very pleasure-centered. It actually sets off, activates the part of his brain where the pleasure chemicals come from when he can pursue a woman in a dating relationship. That actually gives him a lot of joy and pleasure. Interestingly, the opposite is also true. If a guy is not able to pursue a woman because she's busy pursuing him, so he doesn't have to pursue, then it isn't quite as pleasurable for him. The pleasure centers of his brain don't fire off as much, which is why when women pursue men, often, now I'm not talking about making an initial contact. I'm not talking about, you know, letting a guy know when you first meet him that you'd like to go out with him so that he gets the big green light, because that definitely is a turn on to most guys. They want to know that a woman's attracted to them. They, you know, he wants to feel like, wow, she's into me. But I'm talking about when he doesn't get a chance to call her because she calls before he does. I'm talking about her emailing him, texting him, all those behaviors where he basically doesn't have to hardly lift a finger to be in a relationship with her. I'm talking about that. But for most men, the pleasure starts to diminish to the extent that he no longer is required to pursue her. Of course, it can work in the opposite direction as well. I've certainly seen situations where a man pursues a woman and a woman doesn't really give him much of the time of day, and unless he is wired with an obsessive streak so that he becomes a stalker, if he's not wired that way, if he's just kind of a normal guy, after a while, if he chases her and he's not getting much of a response, he's going to give up and go away, of course. So, but for most men, that pursuit behavior is actually pleasurable to them. What happens for us as women is if we take over that role of leading, then initially it can actually feel kind of powerful to be the one in charge and to be the one making those phone calls. But the reward of that being in charge feeling quickly diminishes, because over time you begin to realize that you really don't know if he's truly into you. How could you know? He's not having to do anything to show you that he is into you. I think this is where we're a bit different. Women really need to feel that deep down sense of he's totally into me. So then this is what you can fall into, is not knowing how much he is into you. Then you can fall into the trap of starting to obsess about it. And then you start to worry about it. You start to wonder, well, is he really into me? And then you start to talk it over with your girlfriends a lot, you know, dissecting his behavior up one side and down the other, trying to figure out, does this mean that he's into me? Does that mean he's into me? You're in the position now of feeling anxious and feeling a bit needy. So then you can find yourself asking him too many questions. You're trying to check out his feelings for you. You're calling him too much. You're texting him. You're driving the relationship. You're leading the relationship. And it doesn't work because your anxiety continues to climb. And, of course, how do you come across to him? You start to come across as being a bit desperate. And for most men, that's a pretty big turnoff. So all of this is the trap of taking the lead instead of taking your cues. Well, many years ago when I was single, I was actually going through a divorce long before I met my current husband. And I'd been married for, it had been many years since I had been single before that. And I realized that I didn't have a lot of experience letting men pursue me. I was much younger when I was single the first time around, and relationships tended to happen very spontaneously without really it being a whole lot of dating. It was just pretty much hooking up pretty quickly with someone. And so and also being a very strong woman and a very liberated woman, I often took the lead and did ask men out, but I didn't find it to be very satisfying when I did that. So I decided that I wanted to experience and learn what it felt like to really to let men pursue me and to be a little bit more of a follower in the early stages of a relationship. And so somebody suggested to me that I might want to try ballroom dance, because in ballroom dance, the woman is the follower. Well, I thought that was pretty hilarious at first, but then I thought it over and thought, you know, well, what the heck, I'll give it a try. So I did. I took lessons, and it was really hard. It was not at all an easy thing to learn, but I made some really important discoveries in that process. I discovered that in ballroom dancing, to be the woman who is technically the follower, you have to be strong. You have to have a strong center. You have to maintain it. You have to hold your space. You can't step into his space. You can't pull away too far. You've got to have the right, you've got to hold the right amount of space and be grounded and centered. You cannot be just some limp noodle that the guy is dragging around the floor. I mean, there's no dance if that's what you are. If you're passive, you can't dance with a partner. You have to be strong. Following takes strength in ballroom dancing, a tremendous amount of strength. So leading is not controlling, it turns out. That's not what it is. What leading is about is it's about the first little minute step in partnering. And what I found in ballroom dancing was how wonderful it feels like to take my cues from a man who is leading. And it was actually a delicious feeling, a wonderful feeling. Very hard work, not easy to do, but it made me learn more about what it was to be a partner in a relationship as well as in dancing. So because I had to learn how, I had to understand what it felt like and how to let a guy lead. And I had to learn what it meant to be a better and stronger partner for him to lead. So in dating, that eventually translated for me into a complete overhaul in my practices. Instead of taking the lead and thinking that that was strong, I learned to take my cues, and I discovered how strong, really strong, I had to be to do that. And by that, I mean noticing how much interest he was really expressing versus me taking over the lead so I didn't have to pay attention to that. Learning how to be okay if I wasn't asked out by someone that I thought was attractive. That took strength. And then if he did ask me out, learning how to pay attention to how I really felt about him, that takes strength. Instead of being the woman who was all about, you know, how do I be what he wants me to be? And so I'm taking over the lead and trying to do the right things and say the right things so he'll be interested in me. Instead of that, I learned how to maintain my own space and basically said, you know what? Let me just find out how he feels about me before I get all invested in this. And let me try to discover who this guy is. You know, what is his history? What is his character? I don't need to win him over. Rather, I need to discover if he could be a worthy partner for me. And in paying attention to whether or not he is a worthy partner for me, that, by the way, takes a lot of strength. But what I got out of that was the absolute joy of being courted. And I know that's a very old-fashioned term, but I can't think of a better one that describes what it is like to be single and to have men pursue and to have a special man pursue. And so when I met my husband and he began to pursue me, that was an absolute delicious, wonderful, fabulous time of our life together. And it gave us a wonderful foundation for our relationship because we didn't come together as two desperate people who had to have this relationship. We came together as two people who were very strong on our own. We didn't need a relationship. We didn't have to have a relationship, but we were very, very interested in each other. He showed his interest in me by pursuing, and I showed my interest in him by being very warmly responsive. Let me just say that. I was very responsive to him. I'll let your imagination fill in the rest of those blanks. But my husband and I have been together for over 11 years, and certainly our dance together has evolved a lot. We're way past the dating stage. We trade the lead a lot emotionally in our marriage now, but recently we started back into dance lessons and ballroom dance lessons, and we are having so much fun. I'm learning all over again what it's like to have him lead and to let him do that even when he makes a mistake, because of course when the leader in the dance makes a mistake, he learns much more quickly if you let him do it versus trying to fix it before he can. Because he learns better that way, our dancing gets better as a result. And there's one more thing I want to share with you about ballroom dancing when you're single, and that is it's a great way to have safe touch. What that means is that in ballroom dance, you have to make contact in order to do the dance. There's a way that you have to hold each other and touch. But it's safe because it doesn't require anything sexual from each other. It's not a come on. There's just nothing there but the joy of the dance itself. There's no obligation afterwards. There's no bad feeling afterwards. It's nothing but uplifting. And when you're single, and those of you who are listening right now who have been single a long time, you know what I'm talking about. After a while, you get very hungry for that human contact. You know, just having someone to be physically close to. But that is not a reason to go out and get intimate with someone, to go out and have sex with someone and sleep with someone just because you're feeling emotionally needy. So what ballroom dance does is allow you to get some of those needs met when you're single in a very safe way that has no negative emotional impact later. So think about that. Well, I really believe that ballroom dancing is one way to improve your relationship, whether you're a couple, whether you're single, whatever stage of life you are in. So I want to encourage you to get out there and check it out. And I want to leave you with this question. What will you do to improve your life this week and improve your relationships? Well, thank you for joining us tonight for Love Strategies, and I want to give a special acknowledgement and statement of gratitude and love to my wonderful, devoted husband, Mark. Be sure and join us again for more love strategies.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.